We do this every Thursday at 1 o'clock from whichever Pluckers we're at. And it's our good buddy, KT Funtweets, who gets us ready for the Sunday Cowboys game with a little something called KT's Cowboys Packers Red Band Trailer Preview.
If you don't know what a Red Band Trailer is, it means it's like it's the version that's not free for kids, but still all kids can hear this version because we're on the radio in the FCC.
Did that help you at all?
No,
the general idea of this segment was to have a lot of audio elements from years past involved, but things happened. So here's what's going on now.
Like what?
We're going to start off with connections to this game. One reason Michael Gallup might be wanting to play in this game, maybe, I'm not saying he's expediting the process. We'll see if he plays. It's still out there, but I'm not saying he wouldn't be ready to play. But a member of the Packers offensive staff is one of Michael Gallup's mentors, Alvis Whitted, over at Colorado State. That's one of his role models. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a very cool connection to this game. Also very interesting, Joe Looney's little brother is on the Packers practice squad.
Is that really true?
So I kind of thought, do brothers like text stuff? Is it just like moral code? You don't ask. One guy plays offense, one guy plays defense. Maybe you can learn a little bit about the other team. Does that type of thing? And I was thinking about that in conjunction with the Cowboys bringing in Josh Jones, the Packers cut after training camp, and Josh Jones is on their practice squad. Okay. I wonder if those conversations happen.
No, they don't happen. Because what is the upside there for Joe Looney to tell young brother Looney something that helps him as the practice squad guy?
Well, I would look at it this way. James Looney does not have a future in the NFL. He will just be a practice squad guy.
So no offense. Joe
could benefit.
Okay, so Joe, but Joe is also not going to play.
But he might.
You'll see.
For what reason?
Lyle Collins did not practice today.
Right, and he is not in the mix.
Your swing tackle this week is Connor Williams. Your backup swing tackle this week, if Lyle plays, your backup swing tackle this week is Zach Martin, most likely.
Right.
Which would call for Joe Looney to play.
Right. So,
we'll see if Travis can do good.
It's still a long shot. Brothers would look at that as selling out. Like, that's not the type of character you want to have, right? Like in the spirit of competition.
With your bros, you keep things to yourself.
It's bros before hoes.
I don't know that. I don't know that you would be sure. Like, give me an example of what type of information. Hey, if Dak says Kim K, it means it's a screen on the backside.
Well, that's the whole thing. I guess Joe could be like, hey, what's the Packers practice squad been looking like, James?
Okay.
James,
now we're getting
somewhere. Some intel. I just wonder, do you talk? How close are Joe and James? Joe mentioned to us in interviews before that he'd gone to watch his brother play at California. Mm-hmm. And then James got drafted by the Packers and is now in their practice squad. But I just wonder, we're playing each other this week. Do we have arrangements? Am I staying at your place? I'm just fascinated by brothers being in the league. And then how that works out for not only the family, also each other. But in this specific scenario, well, one of you is an offensive lineman and the other is a defensive lineman.
Uh-huh.
So I just feel like you probably tell things to your siblings.
I don't think you do.
If you're close with them.
I don't think you do. Yeah. I think you just back off for the week.
It probably never comes up.
It doesn't come up until after.
They probably just discuss how life's been going. They probably even talk football.
Right.
You ready for that Breaking Bad movie?
Right. Yeah. A lot of El Camino.
You caught up on the Righteous Gemstones?
Yeah, I think it's
stuff
more
like
of that.
Yep. Yeah, probably so. Packers 26th in the NFL in run defense. They're allowing 142 yards per game.
Wow. Guys. Please own that.
Here is basically what I would tell you about the Packers. Last week, after getting gashed by Dalvin Cook and Philip Lindsay 2 weeks in a row, they came out against the Eagles and said, you know what? Screw it. We're going to run a 3-3-5. And then, so basically what would happen is two linebackers on the outside would end up not really doing much, mm-hmm. and then it was left to one linebacker to cover 15 yards in the middle of the field. And then once they got past the first level, because they don't have the size on the defensive line, the Eagles were dancing. So I don't get the vibe. I mean, it's hard to know, because Mike Pettine is their defensive coordinator for the Packers. He fancies himself as mad scientist guy.
Mike Pettis?
The only way they can win, no, he's the gen guy.
Oh, okay.
Big fan of his. The thing about Mike Pettine that's interesting to me is I don't see them, because there's a bit of fan outrage. He's getting killed by the media up there the last couple weeks. I don't see them doing that. I think they will be very aggressive. I'm not saying they're going to stack the box, but I do think Dak will have opportunities down the field to throw that they didn't have last week against the Saints.
Well, I hope that's the case. And then, you know, obviously if Gallup comes back, I think there's a ripple effect there. You know, I thought it was interesting that Hellman said that Cooper was 75% for the first game and has felt better each week, because yeah. I kind of thought the opposite had been the case, that maybe he was going back the other way.
I don't believe anything he says, though, because not that he's lying. I just think that he's so tough. He'll never once use being injured as an excuse.
Yeah. That's fair.
And so I don't really trust what he's saying, and not in a negative way at all. But the thing is, time has gone on by, and you know, the dust has settled on the autopsy for this Saints game. The thing that concerns me most is what Travis Frederick told us, that he thought that the Saints had picked off their signals, I'm paraphrasing, and had figured out when the Cowboys audibled into a run that they audibled into a run blitz. And if, because, you know, we've talked about how the safeties were deep, and so they're saying, hey, we dare you to run it. And yeah. then they had a run blitz on, and they sniffed out every single run. And if that's the case, if there's some tell sign that the Cowboys have given up, that now defenses have caught something on film and they know how to determine when the Cowboys are going to run, that's going to be one of the – I mean, that needs to be fixed.
That's got to be fixed. I tell you what, though, for me, that doesn't bother me as much as how badly the Cowboys got beat up front.
I think that's why they got beat up. Well, it's not the only reason. I think that's the whole point of what he was saying. They knew the run was coming, and it made it a lot harder to
they
block them.
They looked slow. They looked like they were playing slow.
I saw some clips where they got mauled.
Yeah they did get
just
mauled.
Just mauled. Now, I didn't break down every play.
The Packers don't have there's one key player. He's not a great player by any means. His name is Montrevious Adams. He's missed the last 2 weeks. He's a 325-pound guy, and he's been hurt. But he's practicing this week, and I think he's back. But my whole point of this is the Packers don't have the size or really the talent up front. Kenny Clark's a really good player. But as far as, like, the talent up front, they usually play with three down linemen. They really don't have the talent to stop the run. Like, it's just going to be there. So they're going to have to scheme it. They're going to have to surprise you. And that's why Lyle Collins not practicing today becomes even more. Because if you're shuffling guys around mm-hmm. and assignments are getting muddy, you know, that's what I'm more concerned about. Because so, that's the way the Packers are going to try to and beat you defensively, is just by tricking you, bending, not breaking, hope they get a turnover, kind of trust their pass coverage.
And don't you guys think that, I mean, I realize while Lyle Collins sits, Connor Williams out there, don't you think Connor Williams needs the practice time inside?
Yes.
Yes, very much so.
I do. Maybe it gives us a look. I mean, it looks like Connor will start at left guard. Everyone thinks Lyle is going to play. But, again, 2 days of not practicing. And yeah. if Lyle wasn't going to play, it would give you a look at Suofilo at left guard. Maybe you might feel differently about things. Let's talk about the Packers secondary real quick. So, Jaire Alexander is kind of the NFC's version of Jalen Ramsey. He's not on that level yet, but he's a sassy guy. He's a dog. He wants to mix it up with you. He wants to get in your face. He's got one of the greatest gifs of all time where he forces an incompletion and then he leans back and runs around taunting the wide receiver. He's so funny.
Sounds like an Uncle Baby Billy type.
He's a funny
sound like
guy.
Uncle Baby Billy.
And I'll put it bluntly, you know, my parents, huge Packer fans, he's the guy who will piss my dad off the most when he gets at least one or two personal fouls this year for just one taunting penalty that just didn't need to happen at a bad time. But he's so fun, and he's a legit top five to top eight, you know, cornerback in the league, you could argue. I mean, he's awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
On the other side, Kevin King, who the Cowboys had interest in the year of the taco draft. Now, if I said Kazuntide because someone sneezed, you would immediately see Kevin King on the ground holding something on his body.
Oh, no.
He gets hurt all the time.
That sucks.
And he's hurt his groin and hasn't been practicing. If he doesn't play, that's huge. Because if you go Cooper Gallup, and then all of a sudden Kevin King drops out of that equation, advantage Cowboys.
Yeah. All right. Now, you mentioned Uncle Baby Billy from The Righteous Gemstones. My favorite thing about his character, and even if you haven't seen the show on HBO, you can relate to this. It's kind of a Texan thing, I think, a Southern thing.
It really is.
And that is when Uncle Baby Billy talks. He's one of those guys. He's, come on now. He goes, now, get out there now. He uses the word now a lot, which I think is, now, hold on now. Hold on now. It's just a reset. When somebody says, hey, hold on now.
Yeah.
You got to go, wait, this is right now. This is happening right now. Everybody stop what you're doing. He's stopping this in its tracks and going to reverse it here to let us know really what's up.
It's the equivalent of an exclamation point.
Right.
The show's so good.
People now, come on now, KT.
Come on now.
Hold on now, KT.
Skin, come on now. Catch
come
up.
Come on now.
All right now.
Now.
Hey, now. You got to watch Baby Billy.
Hey, now.
Baby Billy.
Hey, now.
I'm going to show you a new move this week. You know, it's called the backstep stroke.
Now, you can just get on out of here now.
Let's talk about safety. Darnell Savage is a Packers safety. He was ranked number two by both by Daniel Jeremiah on his all-rookie team through 4 weeks. The Packers traded up in the first round from 30 up to 21 to get him. Now, I had heard that the Cowboys had a fifth-round grade on him. Don't know if that's accurate, but it's what I heard.
On which player?
Darnell Savage.
Okay.
So he is – Dane graded him as the safety on his all-rookie team, and Daniel Jeremiah has him as the number two rookie behind Minshew Magic so far. Darnell Savage is awesome. I'm going to read this quote from Mike Pettine real quick. He says, in rookie minicamp, he gave all his players a handful of play calls. And he said Savage got bored about 2 minutes after the meeting, or 2 minutes into the meeting. So they had to have a separate meeting and reinstall the whole defense because Darnell Savage was so far ahead of what they thought.
Wow.
And when I was watching Darnell Savage, he was at Maryland safety. I liked him. I had like a second round grade on him. Liked him okay. Mm-hmm. But that's the whole thing that happened with like Laquon Treadwell from your special. You can't scout how smart a guy is, I think. I think you can to an extent. Uh-huh. But if a guy's like ahead of it, then I don't know, because that could have been a safety, you know, maybe the Cowboys. I thought he could have made it to the second round when there was talk of Jonathan Abram talk and things like that. So that's an interesting player to keep an eye on. He's been really good. The secondary's been good for the Packers. Now we go to the offense side. Rodgers targeted Devontae Adams 15 times last week.
Wow.
Okay? I mean, that's his
guy. And they didn't even have him in the final two drives, right?
In the final 9 minutes.
Okay.
They started to utilize Jimmy Graham a little bit, who's huge. Marquez Valdez-Scantling is their second wide receiver. He's 6'3", I believe. Geronimo Allison is the other guy. He's like 6'5", 6'6". Broadus was on with Sean and RJ this morning, and he made a very great point. Because I think the Packers are in trouble if Adams doesn't play, because that's Rodgers' whoopee. But listen to Broadus, what he said with Sean and RJ this morning.
Well, the other weapons, the Valdez-Scantling and then Allison, you know, Geronimo Allison, you know, is they're very, very tall receivers. And we saw what happened against Miami when they had to deal with Devontae Parker and the ball going up. And this is where now you have a quarterback that is can accurately throw the ball down the field. He can also put the ball in spots. And if you're having to climb these tall linear receivers all day, you know, Byron Jones is a little bit more athletic as far as going up and getting those, making those plays because of his high jumping ability. But then again, Awuzie, we've seen what happens to him sometimes when he has to play a taller guy. That ball goes to a high point and then he has trouble fighting it off the top. And so that's something to keep an eye on. You know, I mean, I have a feeling they're going to try and throw the ball up to these guys and see if they can make a play or two that way. You know, KT watches that team every day. He lives that team every single day. I would trust his evaluation on that, you know, but I do feel like you have to be worried about the length of these two receivers.
My evaluation was that the Packers are in trouble if Adams doesn't play. But Broadus brought up the point. These guys are tall, and I didn't even think about the Devontae Parker play. Mm-hmm. I didn't even really think about historically bigger wide receivers giving the Cowboys problems.
Kavanaugh was talking about that with Cheeto after that Dolphins
game. That was very interesting. Yeah. So
that's
something
Chris Richard's biggest fear, dude.
Yeah.
That's why he hates small corners.
Yeah, I can't put Jordan Lewis out there or whatever. And then Jimmy Graham was risen from the dead. I mean, he had done nothing, but last week, 6 catches, 61 yards. Red zone, his job is to rebound. Like, he's a box out guy.
Sometimes it seems like he tries too hard to have the one-handed catch.
He needs to, yes, he does.
Like he'll have one hand just not involved even trying to catch the ball.
I swear to God, he cares more about flying airplanes and landing them in water. He flies those water planes.
He does?
Is that right?
That's all he cares about. Romo's golf is his flying water planes.
You can't get him on the phone anymore.
You just can't even talk to Jimmy Graham ever.
Are we talking water planes or pontoon boats?
No, pontoon boats are the big party boats.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, not like a cruise ship, but like a, you know, big party boat. Those are great. I mean, they're slow. They're not exciting if you're a kid, but if you're an adult and can have alcoholic beverages, that's great. Mm-hmm. You guys interested in the Joker at all?
Yes. Very interested in the Joker. When is that hitting theaters? Is it out yet?
I think it came out last night or tonight.
There's a fan screening of it this Saturday.
Fan screening is Saturday. I think we're all, I don't think, sign up for that now. But
is it all booked up?
But 4 o'clock Saturday, I'm going to go watch the Joker.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm going to see the Joker this weekend.
I've settled into a nice movie-going thing with my oldest boy, Max. He loves going to see movies. And so I went and saw a movie that I didn't want to see with him. I went and saw It, too.
Oh.
It sucked.
Yeah, it sounds like it was going to be bad.
What about have y'all seen the stuff for Ad Astra?
I heard it was terrible.
What's the story? Is that Brad Pitt?
So yeah. The person that said it was terrible is a huge sci-fi buff.
Give me the name.
I'll give you the name off air because I don't want to blow up his spot. But
probably one of those movie snobs you hang out with.
No, he is a sci-fi buff. Like, reads sci-fi novels.
Sounds like a movie snob you hang out with.
And
I'm not looking for a sci-fi movie. I'm looking for a good space action.
He said it was good space action.
Like Emmanuel in space.
He said it was.
Yeah.
Oh, dog.
So it's not a Brad Pitt porn.
No, he said. He said it was trash.
Did Tommy Lee Jones ruin the movie?
Why? What did he say?
He said, in fact, he said he had trouble even staying in the theater.
Oh,
so
my God.
And he hated the great movie Arrival, too.
He loved Arrival.
Okay, Arrival was good.
Yeah, we had a deep conversation about that and how the second Blade Runner was a perfect fit. He's a sci-fi guy, and he thought it was bad, and he was very disappointed because he wanted it to be good.
All these movies are nothing compared to El Camino next week. I can't wait.
What is El Camino? Oh, yeah, that's the Breaking Bad one. We got to watch the trailer.
Yeah, when are you guys ever going to watch the trailer?
Going to get around to that next, Kevin.
I finally saw it yesterday because Kevin put it directly in front of my face while I was reading about the NBA.